This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center taking great care of us. He is our producer. He's on the other side of the glass. He's why the archive is current from all previous weeks and why it will be current when our particular interview is done today, and why you always get to hear us and the interviewer and everybody else so well. He's our great producer. In the studio with us now, Mike Mulisevich is back. He's an environmental consultant, Mulisevich Environmental, LLC. We've turned to him on a wide range of occasions over the past decade to talk about really common sense use of energy in all forms, efficient homes, efficient vehicles, and making sure that we're talking about whatever it really takes to when it comes to energy and the environment. So Mike is back. Pull that mic so it's about an inch away from you, and welcome back. Thanks for coming in again.
Good morning, Mark. Great to be back.
Your bill is up to $963, so.
All right.
They're going to
supplement my Social Security.
Right, they're going to cut a check in the weeks ahead. Well, it's time for us to talk about automotive efficiency again because gas prices are up. This is like our shtick, you know. Gas prices go up, we call Mike Mulisevich.
Right.
Over and over we do this.
Well, yes, it's deja vu all over again. As older listeners recall, in the 70s, we had the OPEC, Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, who created an oil embargo that increased prices because of lack of supply. And we had long lines, we had odd even days to purchase gasoline at the station, gas stations ran out, it was totally different. But the only thing in common was higher prices. So I decided to write an article last week in the Daily Item, and it was basically from my previous experience when I worked at CEDECOG for 5 years in the early 80s, again, post-OPEC, because there were a lot of programs which resulted from funding from a big lawsuit with the oil companies back then that many may forget, that came from the Department of Energy after a settlement because the oil companies were fixing prices back then also, that I think many people fail to realize. So CEDECOG was designated as one of the energy centers to provide energy information on efficiency, conservation, renewables back then as much as possible. And I was one of the employees there who for 5 years did energy audits for 5 years. I think I did about 2,000 to 3,000 of them. And that's where I gained a lot of my energy background knowledge and experience, and helped a lot of people in central Pennsylvania. So let's fast forward now. We have a high gasoline and diesel fuel prices. So I thought it would make sense to discuss one of the first things that we all should remember to do, regardless of whether we're talking about home heating, home cooling, is always efficiency first, conservation first, because it's the cheapest, simplest, easiest thing to do before you get into bigger projects. You get a quicker payback, and you save money, and you maintain your equipment. So I think it's always important to remember this. And also, it should be a reminder to elected officials, government employees who are in positions, and even the radio station and newspapers that provide information, to remind people of what we can do, the simple things.
So the simplest thing, if we're going to talk about saving money while driving around, the cheapest trip is one not taken.
Exactly.
And I'm quoting you. I hope you recognize.
Oh, really? I love it.
from previous radio appearances.
Right. And so even with home heating or home electrical use, the cheapest is the kilowatt or the gallon of oil or cubic foot of gas not used. So if you can avoid the trip, maximize share car riding experiences, carpools, and we still see that. I don't. You probably notice driving along the highway. There's designated parking lots where you see a lot of cars parked specifically for
park and ride.
Sure. And maybe we should crank that up a bit to remind
That's
others.
That's carpooling, right?
Exactly, right. And then it gets into the, if you do have to drive, is maximize your trips to coordinate stops so that you're out at one point in time doing multiple things. Or take a friend so that, again, you're combining trips and also carpooling with others. And then you can share and alternate the vehicles.
Are we at the point where U.S. drivers wish to save a dollar driving gas? I mean, it's only $4 a gallon.
Well, when you compare to it, and there's economists will say, are we paying the true cost of that petroleum, right? Given the amount of subsidies, given the amount of national security that we have to provide on the high seas, and also economists will say, given the true cost of the environmental degradation that comes from, economists call that the externalities. So here's an interesting one with energy. There's a lot of discussion lately about capping, plugging old gas wells, natural gas wells in Pennsylvania that are leaking methane. Well, that should have been done years ago. And the drillers who did not do it got a free lunch. Now, who's paying for that free lunch now? We are, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. Sometime, somewhere, when you least expect it, we all pick up the tab of that free lunch.
So you're going to tell me eventually when we get to just specific tips, keep my tires inflated properly, but do you think we're to the point where most people care about properly inflating their tires yet?
Well, it's when it hits their wallet, and it's when they pull into the gas station and see, what was it yesterday locally, $4.38. Sure. And if not, then as my article says, stop whining. If you're not going to do anything about it, then send a contribution to the people in Ukraine, because it's kind of connected to that whole devastation and that invasion by Russia, that do something else to help the cause. But we should all be doing it, because it's common sense. Another one that came out of OPEC in the 70s was, and you remember it, was they reduced speed limits, because the most efficient engine in a vehicle is when you are at the lowest speed in the highest gear, and any faster than that, you start to get increased friction and wind resistance, also known as drag, on the vehicle that reduces your efficiency and mileage. So shouldn't our local elected officials be talking about maybe temporarily we reduce the speed limit?
Temporarily.
Why not?
Right, because we could talk about temporarily doing some other measures that would get us through this gas crisis now, which is really... So it's still a question mark as to whether we've hit that point where people really care about saving a dollar on gas. It's only $4 a gallon. When it's $5 or $6 a gallon, maybe then more people would act.
Perhaps, but with regard to maintaining your vehicle, it should be something that we do all the time, not just when the prices get high.
Sound advice. Accelerate and decelerate gently. You've talked about this in years past.
Right.
Gently.
Right. Ease up. Drive lightly. Easy acceleration. Not that peeling out excessively loud with some people. Acceleration. Easy does it on the engine. It's also better for the engine. Our cars are designed much differently than they were years ago. And my other favorite one is stop the idle. It does not make sense to sit in your car with the engine running and you're not moving, because you know what the miles per gallon is when you're doing that.
Let me guess again. Zero.
Okay, good.
0 miles. Okay. I bought a new vehicle and it has start-stop technology.
EcoStart.
Some people turn that off because they don't like that.
Get used to it.
Okay.
It makes sense. I had my first experience with that was with a Ford F-150 years ago that I downsized. And Yeah, it was a little different at first, but I got used to it. It makes sense.
And what is the amount of time that it's worth it to turn the truck on and off under those circumstances? Like if you only do it, if it only turns off for 1 second, you use up more money on the starter and the power that it takes to restart it. Or is 1 second still a gallon of gas less?
Well, I don't know about the exact time, but let's look at the design of the EcoStart. Does your vehicle have that feature?
EcoStart. I'm not sure.
That's what they call it. The
EcoStart. Oh, start stop. Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
the start stop
technology.
Maybe that's just a brand name. It's kind of one of those brand names that now become.
Right, like
generic
rollerblades or something.
Or pass me that Kleenex.
Yeah, right. Okay. So in any event. But
so anyway, the way
start,
that works
stop.
Is, for those who aren't familiar with it, when you come to a stop sign or a red light, your vehicle will turn off because you have your foot on the brake and you're not moving. So the engine very discreetly turns off, and it will remain off until your foot is removed from the brake, and then it starts immediately. So just looking at that design, if I recall correctly, it would be about 3 seconds or so before the engine would turn off at a stop.
Okay, so use that if you have it. Buy the right tires. Look at Consumer Reports and look for tires that have a lower rolling resistance is probably sound advice.
Right, and you bring up Consumer Reports for
everything.
For everything, exactly. Right. And keep in mind, for the listeners, Consumer Reports is a nonprofit organization. So their interest is in consumer education, getting the best product for all reasons out into the consumer. And whether it's lawnmowers or the washing machines or anything like that. But now, with regard to vehicles, the most famous Consumer Report issue just came out, and it's the automotive issue, with their recommendations on the best new cars and their reliance on used cars. So check that first. Be a good consumer. Do your due diligence before you buy.
All right, yeah, and they list top 10 vehicles in every category. It doesn't matter what category you're looking for, whether it's a used SUV that was an economy car to start out with. They got the top 10 used ones and the top 10 new ones, so that's super. And of course, after you buy the right tires, and they have recommendations on those, rolling resistance and fuel efficiencies is one of their parameters, keep those tires properly inflated. All right, we're just about out of time for this segment. You're coming back at 7:40. Any go-to place for information as it relates to the kind of data we're talking about?
Well, if we're talking computer research, if you put in energy efficiency vehicles, safe driving, or wise driving tips, you will get a whole list of different websites that are offering that type of information, because I did that before writing my article as a refresher. So, simple research will get you a lot of information.
All right. To be continued, Mike Milosevic is back. He's an energy expert in a wide range of topics, environmental consultant, the owner and founder of Milosevic Environmental, LLC, up in Lewisburg. Still a thriving business with some activity these
well,
days.
I'm at the point where I'm not doing as much activity, but I still am. Just got an assignment last week. Need to get back to the office and get a proposal out. So, we're mostly doing environmental assessments for real estate transactions, what we call environmental due diligence. And my colleague, Pat Scullin, Scullin Mechanical, we're still doing some tank removals, underground petroleum tanks. And we recycle the oil when we remove it.
All right. To be continued. Mike Milosevic with us. We'll be back.
From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
We're right in the middle of our conversation with Mike Milosevic, an environmental consultant, Milosevic Environmental, LLC of Lewisburg, and he always talks to us about energy and environmental, whether it's the sound environment. We talked to him last year about trying to quiet vehicles. We're glad to say that there is an eighth of a percent percent of progress on that front, but that's about the size of it. But we can talk about that and many other topics with Mike. I have on, I told you, a new vehicle. It has a little meter that shows you in the green if you're not exceeding a wide range of fuel consumption, and in the red if you're accelerating sharply. So I call it my tutor, T-U-T-O-R, that use that if you got it.
Well, sure. The other option that I just like to keep up on mine with, in addition to the digital miles, my speed, is on my truck. My car doesn't do this, just different technology, is the pressure of my four tires is always on the screen. So if I were to run over a nail, or all of a sudden it's going down, and it's also interesting to watch as the pressure increases as you use the vehicle with friction and heat and and temperature. So that's always interesting. But the other one we didn't touch on is regular tune-ups and maintenance and getting it to your regular recommended oil changes and servicing for that. And they will also do the lubrications. They'll check the pressures on the tires and get it at maximum efficiency with air filters and things like that. So regular routine maintenance. And that applies to furnaces. We're going to be coming into the air conditioning season, changing filters, having your technician come in and service all that.
Sound advice. Well, in the past, we always talked about car dealers or garages would sometimes put a little less air in the tires so that you had a smushier, maybe nicer ride. But now you want to be clear that you'd like fuel efficiency to be a factor and you want the tires
well,
at the right
inflation. Well, I think you have to go on the vehicle's recommended pressures.
In your door jam, it has that.
Right, in the door jam, right.
All right, what about using GPS? I find myself using GPS to, like, if I'm at work, I'll hit home so that it can tell me, well, don't go to Northumberland, you know, take that route because it's all jammed up.
Sure, the shortest distance to get to your destination would be the most efficient. Looking at the traffic, just as listen to WKOK radio and see where the traffic is to avoid those traffic jams and those tie-ups. That's another good one.
Sure, 511PA.com tells you is where we get some of our information, so folks can utilize that. But it will warn you. Now, we've also driven from point A to point B, and a crash or a line develops in front of us, and it says, hey, if you stay on this highway, there's a wreck up there. You're going to be stopped for an hour.
Right.
Tells
right.
you to go another way. What's the definitive word on air conditioning?
Oh.
Fix this once and for all, will you? This is the last word you'll ever hear about it, folks.
I don't care.
Okay.
do what you need
feel
to do. Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, because I hear it goes both ways. You know, if you run it when you're idling, it's a drag. If you run it while you're on the highway and without the windows open, they drag. And so, okay, so we'll skip that one. That's no big deal.
Low priority, I believe, in the big scheme of things.
Some vehicles let you do the shifting yourself so you can stay at a higher gear, maybe save a little bit. Tell me about that.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. That's getting into the minutiae. I don't know on that one. I would just, personally, I just keep it in drive and drive the moderate speed and level.
Drive gently, as you've used that. And we've always talked about consolidating tips. Aerodynamics. I have a ladder rack on top of my truck, and I have ladders that I keep there all the time, and I use them once a year.
Right.
I see people with ski racks on top of their cars.
Yeah, that leads into weight, excessive weight. We often will throw things in the trunk and then throw more things in the trunk and more. Do a regular clean out to reduce weight in your vehicle. tools sometimes you may not need take out, whether it's a pickup truck, SUV, or just the car. Yeah, reduce weight.
Okay, don't idle for a long time. In today's cars, you don't need to warm them up in the winter, but some people choose to so that the cabin gets warm with the car's heat or the vehicle's heat, so they can do that. But the car doesn't need that, right? You may want that.
Right. It was interesting during one of those past winter snowstorm tie-up jams. Maybe it was down south. There was a lot of reporting on that, and then there was some follow-up. People who wrote in to comment on the articles with regard to, well, this is why we need a gasoline vehicle. It was because the heat, and it was a lot better. And it went back and forth, and there were some interesting comments that if you were stuck out somewhere and you needed to heat your car, would it be more efficient to run the engine to heat the cabin or turn on the electric seat? Mm-hmm. And just heat you. So that's interesting. It's kind of like the space heater, heat the whole house versus a little space heater just to heat you, the person. So
or an electric blanket, you and just you.
Right. Or your friend April.
Right. Your significant other. Okay. So, all right. So, yeah. So, you really, so I guess the bottom line as you and I do this is think about all this, discuss
exactly.
It and make a decision as it relates to that. What about Gas Buddy? If you want to, saving money is your prologue. Is that a good idea? Go to Gas Buddy. Are you familiar with that? Where you look up cheaper prices?
I'm familiar with it, but personally, I don't use it. One of the things that probably would not make sense would be driving to town to look for the cheapest price.
Personally, right.
Right, and then in that process, you're consuming a lot of fuel.
But I've been in Northumberland. I don't know if you follow it or not, but you have a gas war in Lewisburg, so you have two gas stations that are competing all the time and lowering their price. There's time when I need 20 gallons of gasoline. It is cheaper to drive to Lewisburg, fill up, and then drive home, because you're saving 10 cents a gallon,
well,
you know,
actually,
$3, $4, $5.
I go to the closest place and the one that offers me the discount for my either Weiss Markets or Giant bonus,
yeah, they both do it.
Bonus card. So yesterday, I had to check the air pressure on my tires, coincidentally. And the I figured, well, I'm here, I might as well fill up. And I got 20 cents off per gallon because of the shopping we do at Weiss Markets. So I, there, yeah, use those cards, those bonus cards.
As long as we're naming names, two that I know of, Sunoco offers a discount if you use their card and only their card for their gas. They give you 5 cents off a gallon.
I think you can now use the Weiss card at some Sunocos.
At Sunocos.
Yeah.
And then Discover has incentives from time to time that offer you gas money back,
okay,
on gasoline.
I'm not familiar with that one.
If you use your Discover card at the Weisses, you're going to save extra dollars. So
Whoa. You're
going to really want to check that out.
Hold me back.
Okay. I did deliberately save 2 minutes left to talk about bicycling, because that has to really be a part of this.
Sure.
A lot of our in-town trips can be done by bicycle.
Exactly. Or just walking. So that's gets back to the whole bigger picture with developing towns and maintaining towns that have to and should remain walkable. So that, and there's two sides to that. So there's the driver side that we should remember to yield and stop for pedestrians in crosswalks and when they're crossing the street to make their lives easier, because we all become pedestrians when we park our car and have to go someplace. But yeah, and this is a topic we talked about with regard to maybe a separate show, is the importance of bicycling and rail trails, and also yielding and being careful in passing bicycles on the road. So I always love when I do bicycling on the Buffalo Valley Rail Trail on a Sunday morning, when I see, a few years ago, there was just the timing was, I must have seen about 100 Amish Mennonite people on the bicycle trail bicycling to church. So there a lot of people use the trail and bicycling as their normal means of transportation. Many use it for recreation and exercise, and it can be for also for routine trips. I live in town, so I can walk to my office. I bicycle to my office and often to make some stops. But there's others that use it very regularly.
Well, as long as we're on the topic, you love bike trails
sure.
all over the U.S.
Right, and in my senior years, I've been doing some more bicycling, what I call bicycling vacations. Have bicycled the last year, I'll work backwards, across the state of New York on the Erie Canal Trail. And it was over about a week and a half, and it was with an outfitter company that provides a lot of the support and reservations for the hotels that you stay at. But it's a very nice way to see and learn about history of certain areas, and the Erie Canal is just the history of that project is just amazing, and it's still an active canal, which is beautiful to bicycle along a canal where they're still using it for as a transport means, and the locks are still in operation and working, and also from an economic development perspective is that the towns and the businesses that are around and on the trail. Support themselves with the business activity of the tourist and the bicyclist.
Yeah, it kind of works around. And all of this is very germane to Northumberland County's got a rail trail proposal that's just a really fabulous route, and they're going to try to keep as much of it on the rail trail as they can, and some of it will have to do a go-around around private
right,
property.
Right,
and
so on. Yeah, I wish them luck and success on that, and it's one of those projects similar to when you first get out on a rail trail, whether it's Pine Creek, the Lehigh, and you're there for the first time, perhaps, and you think, why haven't I done this sooner?
Yeah,
haven't we done this project sooner?
Right. The first time I went to Jim Thorpe and rode on that trail, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. I should come here every day.
Right.
It is a blast.
Right.
Mike, my good friend, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
In.